Good morning, and welcome to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. We hope you'll listen in every Sunday at 9:30 on 93R. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg. If you have a question or desire more information, call us at 304-485-5171. Our website is www.ebcwv.com.
We're in a series on hope in the midst of a mental health crisis, and this statistic kind of floored me. Half of all adults in the U.S. will develop some kind of mental illness in their lifetime. So that means that just about all of us are either dealing with some aspect of mental health where our thoughts are just not controlled, and we spiral into anxiety or into dark depression or any number of other things. So it's either us or we have a family member or a friend or a neighbor who is going through some tough things. And so by talking about these things, we can recognize the signs and maybe address some issues proactively. Nobody gets better alone. You cannot isolate yourself and deal with mental health issues, which is the tendency to do because of the stigma around having mental health. A lot of people just don't want to talk about it, and so they stay away, and they don't talk to doctors. They don't get maybe the medication and the counseling they could use. One in four adults in a given year, and 1 in 10 children have a serious mental health or emotional disorder. Mental illness is a disease causing mild to significant disturbances in thinking and or behavior, resulting in the inability to cope with ordinary life and challenges and routines. So basically, we're just not able to think clearly, to do the things we need to do to function. And it's more common. You've been there, and your people around you are dealing with that. There are over 200 classified forms of mental illness. The more common ones that you know are things like depression, bipolar disorder, dementia, schizophrenia, anxiety disorder. They may be caused by environmental stresses, genetic factors, biochemical imbalances, or a combination of all those. The good news is that mental health is real, but that it's also very, very highly treatable. The problem with mental health is that people stay away from the places where they can get help because they don't want to talk about it, they're ashamed, and they isolate, and as you isolate, you don't get better. So my prayer is, and the West Virginia Baptist Convention started this back in April, embracing mental health with hope. It was in Gassaway, over 200 people attended, and it was very well received. Which, by the way, you can go to the West Virginia Baptist Convention website. If you didn't make the conference, you can go to the West Virginia Baptist Convention website, hit discipleship, and then all of the sessions there you can watch, and they're on a variety of topics. Well worth your time. You didn't make the seminar, but you can listen to the speakers. Each week, I wanted you to hear from someone who's actually dealing with mental health. Today, we're going to hear a video by Ashley, and I want you just to listen to her thoughts as she dealt with her own issues in this area.
I never would have used the words mental illness when it came to me. That wasn't something I ever thought about growing up. I ever thought of, even in college, just those words mental illness. I should be able to snap out of this. Nobody else is having a problem, and so I got to hold it together, and I was just continually failing at life. I had the sense that I was going to grow out of them, that adults don't feel like this. And so eventually, as I become an adult, all these things are going to click into place, and I'm going to understand, and I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be able to handle things, and I'm not going to fall apart emotionally, and I'm not going to hurt so much, and I'm not going to think about dying, and I was going to grow out of it. And as I continued to be an adult, realized maybe I'm not going to grow out of it, and if I'm not going to grow out of it, what am I going to do? I don't want to do life like this my whole life. I can live in survival mode if I know things are going to change, but all of a sudden it feels like, what if things don't change? It's so easy to decide that it's not worth it to keep living and to keep trying, because people don't know what you have to live with. They They want you to be around. They say, we would miss you, we would love you, but ultimately they don't have to live your life. They don't have to live with your problems. They don't have to live with your emotions. And so you have to decide for yourself. Do you want to do life? And are you willing to do life with what God has given you? I went back to counseling. I've been a couple of times, tried it for a month, decided, oh, this wasn't for me, and decided, okay, I'm going to go back and I'm going to stick with it. And I'm going to go back to my psychiatrist and I'm going to say, I want to adjust medication. I want to keep trying. I want to say, maybe this isn't enough and maybe I can live life in functioning more normally in more way that I want to. Life is worth continuing to choose to live it and to know that God has great things in store for your life, ways that you can help people, ways that you can change the world, things that you have to give that no one else can give because of the way that you're made. This is how God has made me. What am I going to do with what God has given me? And I trust and believe that He loves me so much.
So the helpful takeaways there is just simply a lot of people are struggling with a lot of different things. They don't fit into a neat box. And so the confusion is that you just can't. She didn't have a set category, and so she's like, oh, ultimately, I must be broken. I'm failing at life, and they can't even figure me out. But, you know, with the right people, the right person who's able to feed back to you some of the things that you're dealing with, they have enough training to maybe talk to you about some of the recognizable things that you're going through. And then today we have an amazing amount of medicine that can actually address some of these things. Years past, it wasn't even possible, but today we do. And I'm standing here on the stage as someone who takes antidepressants still. When I had my depression, I thought I'd take it, and then I went and I told my doctor, I'm done with that, right? And turns out, no. There's some things you keep taking through your life. But because I'm humble enough to say, yeah, I need it, what a blessing. I'm able to function and able to do things that I couldn't do otherwise. So, but knowing that God loves me and that I'm loved by other people, that's what's made the difference. And by the way, that's what God can provide, and that's what a church family can provide, the support, the help, that you're not alone and that you are loved by God and by us. Paul was in despair in Romans 7. You remember what Paul said? I know what I ought to do, but I can't do it. I mean, Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, said, I know what I ought to do, but the sin that I know I shouldn't do, that is what I do. And he ends Romans 7, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? I am in despair. I know what I ought to do, but I can't act in the way that I know that I should. And then we move into Romans 8, where it says, his shame and his guilt is swallowed up in Christ's sacrifice. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And then he had dark and despairing thoughts. And then in Romans 8:5, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So before Jesus, Paul said, my thoughts were of death and despair. But when Jesus came in, the Spirit came in, and now my thoughts are of life and peace. And so today we look at Romans 8, verses 7 to 11. And I like the New Living Bible on this, so if you're reading from the NIV, it'll sound a little different. The point I get out of this is when we say yes to God, we're actually able to say no to lesser things and yes to better things. And so it says in Romans 8:7, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Just, you get the idea that Paul in Romans 7, I know what I ought to do, but just something in my nature is hostile to God, and it's like I try, but I can't. There's this fallen nature that is a block. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit of God living in you, Christ lives in you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you've been made right with God. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And it's that Spirit that then is going to give you the power to say yes to Jesus and then no to lesser things. When we say yes to Jesus, the light comes on. We can see who we are. We can see where we are. And then the Spirit just kind of wakes us up to the fact that there's a spiritual battle going on. Ephesians 6 says, our battle is not against other people, but against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So as we are battling in our mind, there are demonic forces in this world that would seek to destroy you or to tear you down. And God wants to pull you up and out of that. That our first hymn, we're seeking a higher ground. So we need to remind ourselves daily that when we say yes to Jesus, we have a new ability to say no to things that are self-destructive in our life. Before Jesus, all you had was willpower. And willpower to me is that thing that we try to bring together, like when you have a New Year's resolution, you're beginning a new year, and you're going to go to the gym now, and you're going to eat less fast food, right? And maybe some other, you're going to watch less television or something. So you begin the year, and all these things are really good, and then it's like, I'm just going to make it happen. But what happens to willpower? It wears out, and it's gone quickly. 90% of New Year's resolutions are abandoned by the middle of February. 90% of those things that we say we're going to do and we're like super motivated, they're gone within a few weeks because we're dependent upon willpower. But if we would give it to God and say, God, I'm going to say yes to you so I can say no to lesser things. I have a new power in me, and that power is like I'm a new creation. The old is leaving, and the new is coming. In John 8, Jesus said, a person who sins is a slave to sin. Have you ever read that? A person who sins is a slave to sin. If you're a slave to sin, that means that you are doing what sin says. You're unable to not do it. Call it a compulsion, call it bad habits, call it inner urges, call it lust, call it impulses, call it your old nature. Romans 8 says the sin nature is hostile to God, controls us, and keeps us from living for God. So before the Spirit, we fight bad habits with willpower and mostly lose. People will tell me, and they've probably told you, that after some really bad situation in their life, something where they've done something that has just messed up their life, their finances. Have you ever heard someone say, I couldn't help myself? I couldn't help myself. It's just like I was on autopilot, and you hear this on all these scandals that come out, or when you're watching the crime shows where they have the person in the interrogation room, you know, and they're talking to them, and this person who's just committed this horrible crime, and they'll say, you know, I just couldn't help myself. That's what we're talking about. The fallen nature, you can't say no because we're slaves to it until the Spirit comes in. We say yes to Jesus, and then we're able to say no to some of these things in our life because we're able to say yes to God. Galatians 5:16 says, let the Spirit direct your lives, and you will not satisfy the desires of your human nature. Let the Spirit direct your lives, and you'll not satisfy the desires of your human nature. In other words, we are going to have difficult desires. We are going to have temptations. We are going to have urges and compulsions. But because of the Spirit, we don't have to fulfill them. We don't have to act on them. The 12 steps begins with we admitted that we were powerless over alcohol or you name your area, and our lives had become unmanageable. Meaning we were out of control and our lives were just taken off and we weren't in control of it. But then we connected to a higher power and we gave him our will and our lives, and that power restored us to sanity. That's what we're after. People that tell you that they have worked through an addiction or they've worked through mental health issues will tell you that God was an important piece of the puzzle. Not the only thing, But it's that ground, it's that foundational thing where you know you're grounded in God, you know the Spirit is working in you, and suddenly you realize that you can say no. Before, you just went with the flow. Before, you just did it. You saw the drink, you took it. You're on the web, and you just took off. You went off to whatever sites you wanted. Even though you know you don't need to look at some of that stuff, you're back, and you can't stop. That's the kind of compulsive addiction that happens when our old nature drives everything, and we can't say no until we say yes to God. Now, I've heard people say this, but why should I limit any desire that seems natural? Meaning, if it's in me and if it's a part of me, I have to live that out, right? The culture said if you're born with it, you got to go with it. Rich, I'd like to punch you in the nose, okay? And that's a natural feeling that I have because I'm angry with you right now. Or you're out on the road and somebody cuts you off on Grand Central. Whoa, idiot. He doesn't deserve a license. In fact, I think I'm going to cut him off the same way he cut me off. I was born with the ability to get angry. I am low-key. I'm a nice guy. Don't I seem like a nice guy? I'm really low-key, and I'll listen to you, and yeah, okay. Everybody's got a place where when you get pushed to it, and then someone pushes you over. And I have been at those places, and usually it's a time of stress, and there's a lot of things going on, and usually it's someone that I know well, a friend or a family member, and they just push me over, and I'm in a rage. Where'd that come from? Well, I was born with it. I've viewed some of that growing up, and it's deeply ingrained in me. So just because I was born with the ability to use my anger to control and manipulate other people, does that mean that I have to live with it? And does that mean that I should just go with it? No, because I've said yes to Jesus and received the Spirit in me. I can say no to some of these inborn tendencies that are a part of my fallen nature. I do not want to let anger control me, because every time I've gone into a rage, I have said and done things that I regret, and I have to go back and confess and ask God to forgive me and ask people to forgive me. Here's another phrase that came to me this week. The gospel is good news for the things that we are born with and for what we're born again for. What are we born with, according to Genesis 3 and Psalm 51? We're born with a sin nature, okay? And that sin nature means that we are going to do and say things that are outside of God's will. We are born with that, but are we stuck there? Is that where God leaves us? No. You know, we are born again. Nicodemus came to Jesus in John 3, and Jesus says to him, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit, and the wind of God's Spirit will move you into a new life of love and joy and peace. Born again literally means to be born from above, which means when you're born again, suddenly you don't just have an earthly take of things. A lot of times I'm seeing things from ground level. When I'm born again, I'm born from above, and I have a heavenly or a higher perspective, and I can begin to look at things as God sees them, and then I begin to think the way God does, and I begin to act as God does, and I begin to honor Him in my thoughts and also in what I do. A key passage here is 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11. I'll let you can look at that on your own. But basically, Paul says to the Corinthians, when you came into the church, you had all manner, you worshiped false gods, you had a variety of sexual sins, you slandered people, you lied, you cheated, and you stole. You did all those things. He's talking to the Corinthian Christians, but I love what he says. Read this passage. He says, but that is what you were. But now you've been washed, you've been sanctified, you've been justified. You get that? Paul says, you came into the church with all manner of sin, sexual lies. You broke all the Ten Commandments. And you look out and you judge other people. Don't judge them. But that's what you were. But you have been washed. You have been justified. You see what happens? We're born with something, but we're born again into something better. So after I finished one of my last sermons, I got the last one on the how there's the realm of the flesh and the realm of the spirit, and I was going into the narthex, and Mona's been listening to my sermons for a long time, and I sort of know from her face whether or not it worked, whether or not it came off or not, and she goes, well, that was good. And I said, what? And she said, well, she said, you implied in your message that if someone said yes to Jesus and the Spirit came into their life, that the mental health issues are just going to go away. And she said, it's not that simple. And I said, I didn't mean to say that. Well, she said, you didn't really clarify that. She said, say yes to Jesus and you're going to live in freedom. And I realized that she's right. I am in no way saying that you come to Jesus, which is we find salvation when we look at Jesus on the cross and we know he died for us and we know we're forgiven and we accept Jesus and the spirit that raised him from the dead now lives in us and we have this new power. But guess what? The struggle goes on. And you're gonna have to go to many of you probably need to see a counselor or someone who can begin to talk you through some of the things that you've dealt with in life, and you can begin to figure out why your thoughts veer off the way they do and why you're so anxious and why you're so depressed and why sometimes your thoughts are so jumbled, you're not even thinking rationally, and that's a process. And then if they prescribe medicine, I know from experience that people respond differently to medications. A medication that's supposed to take care of your anxiety will make you anxious. There are medications they give you. Oh, this will calm you down, and you're more anxious. And you call the doctor up and say, "I thought this was supposed to help with," and they'll go, "Yeah, it has the opposite side effect for some people." Well, why did you give it to me? Well, we're going to try something else. And there is this maddening process of finding the kinds of medicines that can actually help you. And as I'm saying this, I know there are some of you that are looking at me thinking, wait a minute, Pastor, if we're people of faith, you don't need medicine, you need God. You ask God and he'll heal your brain. And I believe that's true to a point, but I also believe that God has blessed us with the technology that has allowed us to make these miracle drugs that actually can address some of these areas. In my situation, I worked so hard that my brain wore out. There was a lack of serotonin. And when the synapses in your brain kind of separate like this, you are just not thinking clear at all. And there's actually some medicine that reconnects those synapses so that you can begin to think again. What a blessing. But that is a process. That can take weeks. That can take months. And the whole time you're praying, God, I thought you were going to heal me. I thought you were going to make me feel better, and I feel worse. And so, as Mona was right, if I implied, say yes to Jesus, and all your confused thoughts are going to go away, they're not going to go away immediately, but if the Spirit's in you, you're going to have an inner power to get better. One final story. Margaret Fries was in the caregiver support group this week, and she told a story of Pastor John Putman. He's the pastor at First Baptist Church in Glenville, and he plays in a bluegrass group. And he put a story on a CD called Hold the Light. And he told the background of the story at the concert that Margaret had gone to. And there's the guy's going down the highway, and he looks over, and there's a logging truck that's been pulled off to the side of the road. And there's a guy with greasy hands sitting in front of the logging truck with his head in his hands, kind of bent, got his head kind of toward his knees, just sitting there, kind of in despair And you've probably seen, you know, someone broken down, and you can tell the person, yeah, it's, life's not going good. And he thought, I'm busy, I'm late. And then the Lord said, stop. And he stopped, and he started talking to this guy. And as he talked to him, he said, listen, I don't have a clue how to fix your truck, but I can hold a light. I can't fix your truck, but I can hold the light. And so as he held the light, this guy was able to get at the engine a little bit further back than what he had. He could see it a little clearly. And he goes, oh, I hadn't seen that. And as he's sitting there holding the light, he starts to tell this guy about a God who loves him. Starts to tell him that, you know, this Jesus had come into his life and it saved him. And boy, it'd be great if he'd be willing to give his life to the Lord too. And he said before he was done, he and this trucker were on their knees on a back road in West Virginia, praying for God to come into this guy's life. And he said, it all happened because I was willing to stop, to listen, and to hold the light. And so as you deal with people that have mental health problems, you go toward it, and then you kind of run because I can't fix that. I don't have a degree in psychiatry. I can't fix that. You don't have to fix it. You need to be there with them. You need to let them know that even if they act in weird ways, you're going to stay with them. And then you just need to hold the light, hold God's light, and tell them that light is going to help them to make it. The Golden Gate Bridge is a landmark with a infamous statistic. It's the second most likely place where people will take their life. People, every 2 weeks, someone jumps off the Golden Gate Bridge to end their life. And not too long ago, they found a note that had kind of washed ashore there, and the news media picked up on it. And on that note of someone who had jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge was, if anyone smiles at me on the way to the bridge, I won't take my life. If anyone smiles at me on the way to the bridge, I won't take my life. Imagine this guy's riding subways, making his way across the city of San Francisco, and he's looking for one person that might smile and acknowledge that he's alive. He says, if anyone does, I won't take my life. So you can hold the light. You can also smile at somebody and just let them know that you acknowledge their presence. Let me give you some resources before I pray for us. I think I forgot this slide in the first service. West Virginia Baptist Convention, WVBC.org, discipleship in the header, and then mental health seminar. All of the sessions in March are YouTube videos there. I've been listening to the Care Ministry podcast, and it's really good. They go over a lot of these things, different sessions. And then there's an online mental health seminar coming October 10th, and you can register at churchmentalhealthseminar.com. I just registered for that. So an online mental health seminar coming on October 10th. And then we actually host a seminar here in August, but it's specialized for people working with children and youth. And if you're interested in that specific category, we'll work with you to be part of the seminar that we are hosting. Let's pray. Father, as we deal with this situation that so many people, especially coming out of COVID, we pulled back from the world, and a lot of people stopped going to counselors, stopped taking medication, stopped connecting socially with people, and the mental health problems have gone up significantly, especially among young people. So we pray, Father, that we will be aware, that we will pray, that we can be present, and that we'll hold the light so that people can find you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg, West Virginia. Our website is www.ebcwv.com. I'm Pastor Kurt Busick. We leave you with this important word from the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God bless you and have a great Sunday.